Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. This is Mama Seven, and we are doing A Wonderful Approach Radio. It has been a week, behind another week, behind a month, on a fast day. It's been a lot going on, family. And I just hope everybody is hanging in there. We have a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces. But stay patient, stay diligent, because we have a lot of positive things going on. You know, we're moving into the busy season. I love this time of year. This is when we're doing retreats. This is when we're doing a lot more outdoor ritual. This is when we're spending more time with our A Wonderful Approach family. And it's always so wonderful to see each other. You know, we love being around each other because we love each other. And so I love this time of year. And being in South Georgia, you know, we work probably all the way up until November, that first weekend in November. And so it's great. It's great for us. It can be a little hectic, but that's okay. It's still great. This is our Wednesday. This is our fast day. And this was the first Wednesday I didn't come home from work and just lop across my bed, just exhausted. I can't think anymore. I can't breathe anymore. I didn't this time. And, you know, on one hand, I was like, wow, are you developing that spiritual muscle? And are you developing a physical muscle? No. I was mad. I was hot, spitting mad. So mad I couldn't even rest. But thank God, I'm tired, so I didn't have to hurt anybody today or anything like that. So I was like, man, this fast is working in the benefit. There's so many benefits to this fast. When you're not even thinking about it, there's a benefit. Because I sure enough had plans that were not in the positive. So I was like, you know, thank God for even being tired. You know, thank God for giving me I guess the maturity? I don't know. Whatever it is that was able to intervene, that was able to talk sense into me, whether it just be pure exhaustion or maturity, whatever it is, I'm thankful for it, because that would not have been the right move, not on the right day, not the right energy. So I give thanks and praise that I was able to kind of pull myself up. Even though I didn't want to, I did. And, you know, we're always kind of speaking with ourselves to, you know, kind of let ourselves know where we are. Hey, I see your growth. I see you responding in ways that normally you wouldn't have. I see you trying things that normally you wouldn't try. And so, you know, I really wanted to kind of pat my own self on the back for half a second for the restraint in working with people today. Never, never easy. It's not easy. But today, even though I was revved up on something crazy, I got some of my housework done. I came home and organized some things, and, I mean, it was a very productive day. Now, I'm sure after the radio program, I'm going to just pass out, and that's okay. But, you know, got to get that work in there first. And for those people that are fasting with me, oh, my goodness. I looked at sunset in the state of Georgia, this beautiful state we're in, and I had to run around for lunch today. So I'm at work, 10-hour days, had to run around for lunch, I was trying to do my Good Samaritan and add this and do that, and, you know, I always am trying to be that person. But it was 90-some degrees down here tonight and out today. And I was like, whoa, wow, just pile it on, why don't you? But fast ends tonight down in Georgia, 8:47. I was like, oh, that's disrespectful. That is disrespectful. And so as, you know, as I've mentioned before, you know, part of the challenge in fasting is not just in the biscuit. it demands more and more of you as you grow, as you develop. It's always asking you to grow and to give more. And this is just kind of where we are today. And so for all those people fasting close to 9 o'clock to break fast, I have some good news for you, even though that's a long day. That's from, I think it's 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 at night. What is that? That's what, 13-hour day? No. Carry the one. I mean, we're talking, what, 15, 16 hours a day? Too many, family. But we're moving towards the middle of the year, which means in the next 2 weeks, I believe, the days will be getting shorter. And for those that are fasting weekly, it does make a difference. You know, by the time wintertime comes, we're only fasting until 5 o'clock. And so it's kind of like, yeah, suck it up, buttercup. That's what I tell myself. Suck it up, buttercup. Let's really put all we can into getting this productive, you know, and trying not to focus too much on the biscuit. But today, along with feeling feisty and spicy, there's this topic, the Eve Chronicles, okay? And the Eve Chronicles is about, like it says, Eve. It is about, you know, the first, you know, from our Christian understanding. And you don't have to be Christian. Your ancestors were. I'm going to say 95% of our ancestors, they weren't just Christian like they've read the book before. This was their lifeline thing for them. They based their whole life around church. So it wasn't just church on Sunday. It was church all through the week, Sunday school, after church, luncheon. I mean, it was everything. And so they believed in that Bible. They believed in the Word. And when we speak about Eve, sometimes she gets a bad rap. And I have had this, I want to say discussion, but I'm going to say argument. I've had this discussion with many, many quote-unquote scholar, and we always come back to the same understanding of being okay with our differences because we don't ever agree. So that's what we're going to spend our time with today. I wouldn't call myself a scholar. I would call myself someone who has read, you know, read a little bit, asked a little bit, lived a little bit. So seeing how I'm not the scholar, I'm not the official word, this is an open discussion. We're going to openly talk about women, right or wrong. We're going to openly talk about the power of the woman. This is the day to pop your collar, okay? This is what this energy is asking us. This energy is asking us to push and to really get into the Eve Chronicles. And every time I try to do this, I'm trying to come from a place of love, not irritation. And so if I need some help with that, family, you know what to do. You press 1, and that lets us know, hey, it's time to have a conversation. We got to get into the beginning. We got to get into the first, because really – we are still very much connected to this whole understanding of Eve, and we're connected to the whole understanding of this apple business. Yes, yes, yes. So that's what we're going to be getting into today. Like I said, this is an open conversation. This is not a lecture. I don't like lecturing, okay? I lecture all day at work and shake my finger at people all day at work and everything else like that. When I'm with my family, I don't want to lecture. You know, I want to share knowledge. I want to share information. I just want to be a part of this. You know, I'm not everything. It's a good thing, too. I'm always honored when we have people that brave enough to press 1 and say, hey, I'm here. This is what I heard. This is what I feel. Da, da, da. So we're going to get into the Eve Chronicles, okay? Or even you can say the Women's Chronicles, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. So the story of Adam and Eve. Can we go there? Okay. And we're going to, we can talk about other spiritual systems. That's wonderful. Just let us know where you're coming from as you're speaking. Just like I just said, the original story of Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Right? And so in the Christian understanding, and it's so funny because maybe about 5 years ago, Spirit asked me to go back to the original tree. You know, I believe in the birds and the bees and the trees. I believe everything that we need to know and we need to see, the trees, the birds, the bees, and the trees have demonstrated it for us. I believe in the cycles of life. I believe in bearing good fruit. I believe in the networking of the roots, and I believe in the support system of the roots, and I believe in the strength and the need for the branches. So, I mean, this tree really means a lot to me, okay? And I believe, so when Spirit said I have to go back to the original, go back to the first tree, it sent me on a spiritual, educational journey of trees mentioned in spiritual settings. And even if we go back to pagan time, the Norse gods and everything, there were the three sisters, and the three sisters had pet vultures, and they all sat under this huge tree. And the tree, if you ever go back and look at the Nora sisters, the tree is as much of a picture as they are. You know, every one of our divine feminine understanding stories, chronicles, the pre-Islamic sisters, the Iyami of the Ifa Yoruba tradition, all of our divine feminine celestial beings all have this tree there, right? So the trees are a big part of me. So what happened was God, in a Jewish tradition, like I said, Spirit said, go back to the original tree. The original tree was the tree of knowledge. And this was the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. And I remember being a child, and I remember asking my mother, well, if an apple got Adam and Eve, if an apple really got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, why do we eat apples now? Why wouldn't that just be taboo for us always? Why wouldn't we try to give up all apples to show a solidarity with saying, okay, we recognize now that the apples are not to be touched. What was sacred about the apple? And, of course, from the story we know, there is not from the story we know. The fact that we continue to eat the apple, we continue to have this, we continue to have that, is not necessarily the apple that was the focal point. Right? Can we say that? Can we say maybe it wasn't the apple, but the disobedience that created this problem, right? But so that's what I was told. So my next question was, well, if that's true, how come the problem didn't occur until Adam ate the apple? And I never really got a good answer for it, but I know the answer. I know the answer now. And this goes into the understanding of men and women. And we're going to bring this from back in those times to 2021, okay? From my research, from what I've seen, Eve ate the apple. And then she suggested that Adam eat it. The second that Adam ate it, then there was a problem. Then there's all the punishments and this and that. And that is because God didn't tell Eve not to eat the apple. Eve hadn't been created yet. There was a time period when God and Adam were together, and it was only God and Adam. Right? In this story, in this understanding, there was a time where God made Adam, made man out of clay, and he was hollow. And then God blew his breath into him, and he came alive. And Adam, and then God presented Adam in front of everyone and said that this is a human. I created this. And then God and Adam walked through the garden, and Adam named all of the beings. And in naming the beings also, he dictated their nature. And God did this so that Adam would know a thing. God told Adam not to eat from this tree. Later, when God was observing Adam and noticed that it seemed as if he was missing something, then God created woman. She didn't have the same rules and regulations that Adam has. And this is like kind of major. Men and women are not the same. In the Jewish tradition, they say women, because they were made and based off of bone, are harder, tougher than men. But you can't bend them to the point where they break, because then they shatter. Where a man made out of clay is supposed to be able to handle more because he's flexible. Even though the woman is made harder, she's made from a stronger substance. And I was like, what? Fact that women were made of bone makes them harder, makes them tougher. You know, in Islamic tradition, and that all scholars will argue with you, but they have to go back to an original Quran, and it says, God said, I have made one stronger than the other. It doesn't say which one. Now, in all of the new Qurans, in parentheses, it says man. But if you have one of the older ones, the ones that don't change the word of God, it says, without the parentheses, because we don't have to put parentheses in place. We don't have to dictate. If you can read, and I have made one stronger than the other. And my understanding in that, and I just switched cultures. Stay with me, family. My understanding in that is the reason why God did not say, I have made man stronger, and he did not say, I have made woman stronger, is because there are times and places where the man is stronger. Just as there are times and places where the woman is stronger. Also, are we talking about a physical strength, a mental strength, an emotional strength? That's why I believe that those words of God, not interpreted, not added to, not none of that. That's why those words are like that. And I have made one stronger. That's it. No man, no woman, just one. And I believe in every given situation, one of us is stronger. I don't believe it's 50-50. There may be a time where the woman may be 75, the man may be 25. Then there turn around, there'll be times where he'll be 75 and you'll be 25. And there's times, you know, that is life. That is life. You know, when you look at a tree and we see our seasons, there are times where the tree is full and it's bushy and the green and you can barely see through it. It's full. Then there's times when it's not full. And just like as men and women, if we could learn to work with each other, there'd be times where we would need them to compliment us, and then we could turn around and compliment them. But the Eve Chronicles is so deep, and as they go through this foundation of woman, I just went through the Jewish understanding, the Christian understanding, Islamic understanding. We have to work on, even went through a pagan understanding, okay? We have to work on understanding who this woman is and her strength, because we know from all stories that the victor is always the one who writes the stories. And so he'll always make himself great and glamorous and everything else like that. You know, forever I've been blaming Eve for these cycles, and I've been blaming Eve for these childbirth. I did this twice. I'm like, yo, all this for an apple? But, you know, really, my God is not that simple. It's not. There's always more to learn. There's always more that we're supposed to be applying, most supposed to be getting. So it's never as simple as an apple. You get it? So we have to begin to understand what additional pieces to this story do we need to be putting in place? What strengths do we need to be pulling on? And why is this bothering Mama 7 right here, right now? It's always bothered me. It's always bothered me because I, growing up in a very male-dominated culture, I never understood. I never agreed to all that. I'm like, mm-mm, you can't tell me that I don't have powers. You can't tell me I don't know things. You can't tell me, you know, it never sat well with me. The way women are treated, even now, they're either or they're dangerous. I said it, dangerous. So powerful that they would go through all the energy and effort to cover up our power, to minimize our power. And this cover-up game, this hiding, has got to stop, effective immediately. So here we are on that night, where we really have to stop and think, what are we doing with our power? I can tell you, when Allah came to the Middle East, came to the Muslims, the Quran was developed, shared, created. It took 23 years. And they called Allah the jealous God. Because the moment that he came into play, all the other lesser gods were destroyed, taken away. The pre-Islamic daughters, the triple moon of the pre-Islamic, those temples were destroyed. And those tribes forced to accept this new masculine jealous God, a God that only wished to be, only have himself worshipped. So first thing they did was take out the women. That's not strange to you. Here we have in our Ifa understanding, and there was Ifa and Iyami. Ifa is knowledge. It is a masculine force. It is the record keeper, is the understanding of all things. Iyami is action. And the two together, and all of this can be researched. Y'all look up a plot of keys. You can do whatever you want. But the two of them together ruled over the land and guided the people. They got the information from Ifa. They went to the Iami. They went to the mothers. Ia means mother. Me, of course, me. Mother of mine. Okay? That's all the word means. So when the colonizers came over to Africa, the first thing they took out was the mother's shrine, all of the mother's shrines. How is that possible? This is the story. This is the story that is told. Okay? But how is that possible? How in the world could you take out the mother's shrine with that masculine force jumping in there to save the mother's shrine? Right? So I'm not saying that's not how it went, but think about it. If we are the feminine understanding and there's an attack on the feminine understanding, it's going to take out the feminine understanding and everyone that stood with the feminine understanding. Is that correct? How come as we are creating and recreating ourselves, you know, years and years and decades and millennials, the colonizers have taken out Iami, how come that was never replaced? How come that was never put back in its position of power? How did the colonizers come and immediately know where the power base was? You know? So you have to stop and think, how did this happen? What was going on? And then, of course, in our Christian understandings, Eve, because of Eve speaking to the serpent, because of Eve offering Adam the apple, really because of her, and I've heard a lot of blame over the years, I hate to tell you, you know, because of her actions, now, you know, us humans are forced to live harsh conditions. Jesus, you know, there, Jesus had Mary Magdalene. Okay. But the second that Jesus is crucified for opposing the wrong ways of the government, so the second that Jesus is crucified, the first thing they do is take this female out of all power, words, knowledge, everything away. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to expose there's been an intentional cover-up, silencing of our spiritual, ancient, feminine energies. Slower. There is an intentional cover-up of our ancient, feminine, spiritual entities. And we got to find out why. Why does anybody cover things up? You know, we can go through the list. Why does anybody cover things up? One, maybe because you don't want your wrongs to be exposed. It's easier to blame it on somebody else. Maybe because you're trying to weaken a particular energy. I'll weaken it by, you know, by starving it, by not giving it any light, by not giving it any attention, by acting like it doesn't exist, by minimizing and silencing, shoot, burning, drowning, hanging, all those that have any affiliations with this divine energy. So, family, we got to think a little deeper, okay? And so I love the Eve Chronicles, and whenever I get into them, that energy, when I say runs all over me, that energy really, really is a powerful, very raw energy, and it's on the rise. I'm going to say over the last, probably the last 5 years, this energy, this mother's energy, this shift cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. Everyone has to recognize we are on the verge of those energies coming back to be instilled in their proper place. So all the work that was done to keep them quiet, to keep them silent, to keep them irrelevant, to keep people confused, all of that is about to change. There are more and more women societies coming about. There are more and more female understanding. You know, the norm is no longer the norm. That whole good old boy system, it's on its way out. Okay? So I say all that, but you know, there are some things we need to be working on if we really want to be ahead of this shift. Now, there's a couple ways to ride the wave. You can let it, you can stand still and let it hit you in the head and knock you down and drag you and stuff like that. That's what's going to happen to all those people that are ignoring the very obvious facts that are right here in front of us. There's more going on, family. There's more things going on. There's more people involved. There's more energies becoming present. More and more, there is. We have to start to face the idea that this female shift is coming into place. Get good and comfortable with it. Get good and comfortable with it. So as we're going through and we're learning and we're developing and building ourselves, we have to make sure we're developing that divine feminine as well. Okay? Spirit told me I am made in the image of my creator, and I am very feminine. So for me, there is no question. And we speak about the Most High God. So that lets us know there are levels of God. There are levels of creators. I don't know if the ant, I often think about the ant God. You know, I've had a couple of really great conversations about the ant God, the God of the ants. And so when I drink my, when I drop my coffee out on the grass and all of the ants come flooding to get it, and I'm like, well, there you go, Ant God. I have delivered the coffee, I guess, because what I thought was a waste, they definitely saw it as a blessing, all right? So if we're all made as our creator, I couldn't imagine being an ant, small ant, and think that a human, someone who steps on me, is my God. So how are you going to believe, understand, recognize that the God you serve, the God that you know, doesn't know you? And I'm not just talking, you know, in general or your name. I'm talking about really know you, like understand you and your body. How does a man begin to understand childbirthing? How does a man begin to understand those things that are female and that are women? See, the people that have been writing the book have been writing the book according to their perspective. See, I'm a black woman. If I write a book, and I have written books, they come from a black female perspective. I'm a mother. They come from a motherly perspective. Why? Because I can only create from what I have within myself. I can only give what's already there, correct? So how can my creator take the intricate design of female without having been one? Do you know that when females are born, they have all of their eggs? So when a woman is looking at her infant daughter, she's looking at generations of daughters. That design, yeah, that's definitely a creator who understood the process and understood the value and understood how important it was. And I'm not mad, you know, at all the Luke, Job's, all of the books of the Bible and their masculine names, coming from their masculine perspectives. I'm not mad at it. I just have to be able to look and see for myself, though, where do I fit in at this? Where's my book at? Where's my understanding? And when you start to really look at who you are and your spiritual understanding, if you don't see yourself, we need to talk. We need to talk. So this is where we are. This is the Eve Chronicles. How are we going to manage ourselves in this extremely masculine understanding of reality? They're the ones writing all the books. We've got to do more in order to make sure that our side of the story is getting told. Miracles are still occurring. Spiritual work is still going on. Where they're just not documenting them like they used to. But it is. Understand that you are playing a very important role in that. All of us are going to be part of this new understanding of divine femininity. And as we're coming into this new understanding and we're putting these new principles in place, we have to be very, very cautious about how we do this. There are a couple ways, a couple things I know off the rip we have to really, really be careful with, okay? Number one, I don't have a list, but number one, we have to be very cautious that we don't become oppressive. I've seen it so many times where they will have a group that has been oppressed forever, and they'll turn around and start to oppress others. It's almost like that's all they know. And I've never understood that. I'm like, wait a minute, you know you didn't like that, so why are we turning around and doing the same thing? We have to make sure that we don't make those mistakes. Because if we go too far on the feminine side, and I'm sure, you know, I have energies here that are like, what's too far? So if we go too far on the feminine side, then the balance is always going to swing to try to even itself out. So I'm trying to put this divine feminine energy in a good place and have it stay forever. You know, let's balance this thing out now. We don't have to sway back and forth, you know. So I would like to see, this is just me personally, my small 2 cents, I would love to see this divine feminine energy come in and not need to oppress the men. And I have had many, many a pushback on this. Why? Because they say, oh, Mama Seven, these men, they have done, I'm like, I know. And they've held us down on purpose. I know, I know. And they've done it. I'm like, well, they, you know, they're ignorant. I didn't say they were smart. But because they've done those things does not mean that we have to. And that's kind of, you know, where I am and why it's so important that we learn how to temper our own selves. What they did, the mistakes they made, it doesn't make it right. We have to work past that. We have to work past the revenge stage because it doesn't last long. We can't work with the mother. We can't work with this feminine energy because we're mad at men. We work with this feminine energy because it's our divine responsibility. It's a divine duty. It's where our blessings are. That's why we do that. If you're working and if you're spending time in this divine feminine, because you're going to teach those men a lesson, you're wasting a lot of time. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be some women taking you up on your journey. There will. But when I say you're wasting time, there's bigger things to do. There's more important things to do. We have to run the world. We have to birth children. We have work, literal work to do, maintain households. There's so much going on. There, you know, a woman's work is never done. So sitting here trying to oppress this other being should be kind of low on your totem pole. It really should. I believe that, you know, women are one of the highest sources. So to me, whenever I see my women folk doing low-level things, it always is a little, If I had put my hands on this woman at work and I really wanted to, I wanted to so bad I think I was drooling a little bit. Now, it could be because I'm fasting and I'm hungry, but I think I drooled a little bit. Man, I would be so repentant right now. I went, oh, I'm so sorry. I know she started it, but I didn't have to finish it. That would not have been high of me. That would not be the high priestess that I'm looking for and that I'm aiming for. That would not be the queen of pentacles, the queen of wands, the queen of swords, not even the queen of swords. So the queen of swords wouldn't even sully herself with physically having to reprimand someone. There's lower, there are other people for that. So, you know, I'm so glad that I didn't. So a big part of this feminine energy is going to be not oppressing the next, the others, all right? If I had to say a number two to this feminine energy is learning to deal with how fiery it gets, okay? And this is a challenge. If you've ever fasted on Wednesday with me, you know this to be a fact. I don't know why, but that fast on Wednesday is so much harder than any other day of the week. And, I mean, it could be just because it's the middle of the week and we're, you know, we're a little tired. It could be the work that, you know, it could be because that is a high spiritual day and most religions have a special prayer, Sunday school, church service, whatever. So it's already a high spirit day, and high spirit days activities require more energy. I don't know if you have ever, you know, for those that maintain shrines, I don't know if you noticed that you get more tired after you've been, you know, changing your glasses. It's like, man, you know, I'm just taking a couple steps from the shrine room to the kitchen. Why is this tiring me out, though? Why? Because you're involved, entrenched in energy. That energy, it pulls on your human core. So imagine you're fasting. So you already have a limited energy. And then you turn around and you do all this heavy work. It's a lot. So managing this feisty energy, because when I say flame on, it is, you are going to get it straight. You know, you're going to get it. It has nothing to do with fasting. I fast all the time. All the time. Wednesdays are hard. So dealing with this divine feminine, and a lot of times, and even us women do this. This is some, you know, don't forget, when it comes to the Eve Chronicles, we are relearning how to be, because they will have you thinking that all you do, all you can do is cook, clean, and birth babies, okay? That alone, though, is a full-time job. That is so difficult. And they make it seem like all you have to do, you know, this baby eats every 3-4 hours and then tears up the house as they're eating every 3-4 hours. It's a lot of energy. But they would have you thinking that the work that you do is small, is minimal. Anybody can do it. And it's so not that. Okay? So first, let's not oppress the other people. Let's not. Second, learn how to manage this divine energy when it touches you. Okay? I want to expand on that a little second, okay? Because I know we have people that work, let's say, in the elements, or think they work in the elements. Working with divine celestial beings in nature is no joke. And ever so recently, there's a call to work with those beings. There's a call for more healing of the earth. There's a call to be in the ocean and allow for the purification that feminine celestial body presents. There's a call for this lunar energy, which is feminine. And it's amazing how all of these feminine energies work in conjunction, because they are the same. Different forms, but they are the same divine feminine energy. Without the moons, our tides would overrun the cities. Water, there's more water on this planet than there is land. And if the water ever decided to take over the land, we'd have a whole nother situation. This earth provides everything for us. Food we eat, to the housing, to the shelter, to turning around and providing a place for our body to rest when it is complete. So all of these feminine energies moving in conjunction with each other, but being horribly ignored by its very daughters that it's produced. Being disrespected by this masculine force who doesn't even know enough to be respectful. And you wonder why this shift is hitting so hard. You wonder why the shift is just hitting you over the head. And you're like, wait a minute, how did this? Yeah, this is where we are. And this feminine energy is not taking no for an answer. We have to get good with being representatives of this divine feminine energy, which means you're going to have to get connected, you, everybody on the line, everybody that will check out this program, every woman is going to have to get connected with her divine feminine self. We're not going to have time to squabble over schematics. We're not going to have time to say, oh, no, but I need this and I need that. Well, if you don't, because this is really what the men folks do. Man, if you pray at 5 o'clock, then, you know, your prayers will be answered. If you pray at 5:05, that's it. God's going to come and get you, take you off the earth. We can't get like that. We can't get bougie, snotty. You know, I don't believe in extra people. And it's true. I don't believe in extra people. I don't believe God made us and them. I think God made humanity. And we're supposed to operate in that. So as we're going through this process, we have to learn how to operate in our divine feminine for the sake of humanity, okay? We can't just go on strike and be like, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, we're not birthing any more babies. We've decided we're trying to keep our girlish figures, and we're not birthing any more children, okay? We can't do that. We have to make sure that we are allowing this divine feminine energy to move through us. In order for it to move through us, in order to be a proper representative, you have to make sure that you know what you're talking about. You have to make sure that you are strong within yourself. We can't have any weak links out here. You know, you have to understand, we're really fighting up against some major, major challenges already. Historically speaking, no victor, no person on top is going to give you power. Why would they? It doesn't make any sense. So we're going to have to make sure that we are preparing for the power as we go forward and forge it. We have to pull this power. We have to start recognizing, first of all, the power that we have ourselves. When we're recognizing our power, we're not going to be overly, and I know this for a fact, it happens, it's the truth. When you recognize your power, you're not necessarily overly concerned with somebody else's. Think about all that I do. I don't have time to worry about what the next one is doing or saying. I don't. I don't have time to chase behind people, and, you know, I don't have the time, and I'm not going to make it. God has my plate so full with bounty. God, when he makes a table before you, oh, it's a beautiful table. How does it look? Me, God is up here doing this for me, and I'm worried, I'm looking at somebody else's table. The devil is a lie. Nah, I got enough of my own to worry about. See, this is how I don't have to worry about that jealousy and envy popping up. I don't have time to look around and see what somebody else is doing. I don't have time to look around and see what somebody else has. I'm so involved in how do I get to be a proper representation of divine feminine. How do I fight against all this energy that's sitting out here? I don't want to say against me, but let's be real. They wiped out our temples. They've done that before. It makes me kind of worry about if they'll do it again. I was talking to a little one about this Eve Chronicle, and I told them, you know, when they had the witch hunts, and, you know, the witch hunts of Salem are famous, but they hunted witches everywhere. They still do. That's why everybody's jumping up and down and so tickled to be a witch and everything else like that. I'm like, okay, I need you to know what they did to your ancestors. But their trials were, so they strapped you to a chair and they dunked you in the lake. And if you drowned, then you were not a witch. I was like, wow, there's got to be another way to test this theory. You know, how many of our sisters had to die these horrible deaths and weren't even part? Some of them were. Some of them weren't. Any woman could be prosecuted, burnt in front of your children. Any woman could be prosecuted. So when I tell you that we all have to work on how we represent the divine feminine, it's because we all pay the price on the divine feminine. You understand that? We all pay the price for it. That's disrespectful. So seeing how we all pay the price, I'm talking about young, old, black, white, you know, and everything in between. Those women, the way that they got proven that they weren't what they said they were, is because they died. That's as disrespectful as it gets. So we have to work on our being this proper representation, okay? Now, I'm moving into my last 30 minutes. If there are, and it's been quiet. Maybe because you're listening, I don't know. But if you have a question, now is a great time to ask the question, because I don't want to get off the phone and then they're like, oh, I have 1,001 questions. And I'm like, no, ask them now. And there are no silly questions, of course, because I promise you, any question that is asked, there's probably 10 more people that have the same question. They didn't even know how to phrase it or were shy or whatever. So I don't want to just dominate the show. If there are any questions, don't hesitate. Press one, and that will let us get to the questions. But, you know, we had to go through these chronicles. We had to go through this whole idea of how women have historically been treated and why. You know, one of the mightiest nations and one of the few nations that I know of that never left their women, that never allowed their women to be conquered, taken away, or anything else like that. And this was the Native Americans. The Native Americans have a lot of respect for the women, but they also look at how much respect they have for the earth. Look at how much respect they have for the water. See, they lived in harmony with these feminine beings already. So there wasn't a time or place that I've ever seen documented where their women were treated less than, or that their women were ever forcibly removed from their positions. Usually in the Native American societies, they have masculine and feminine everything. So the medicine woman, the medicine woman might be, you know, will only deal with the women, and she'll have a male counterpart, and he will deal with the men. And so they did everything very separate, but very equal as well. I know I was at a powwow, let me see, maybe 12 years ago, and I met a beautiful Native American male dancer, and he had a tomahawk, and nice. And, of course, Talib, about 3, 4, he said, hey, like your tomahawk. Nice. He said, what are you using to balance the weight? What are you doing? And they're having all this conversation. He's like, oh, little warrior, come, let me show you this. And so he's all into this. And his sister that was with me said, where are your women leaders? In her little voice, he said, women leaders? No, we don't have women leaders. You know, the women are over there. And the men and the man leaders are right here. I looked at her and I was like, this is a man, a very masculine man, warriored up, everything. What would he know of the women business? He doesn't know anything. They have their own everything. I said, now go over there and speak to the women if you want to find out about the women. And so they have their whole society. Women, you know, they have women doctors that brought babies forward. They had everything they had. There was a woman representative. But because he was a man, he didn't know anything about it. To the point where he looked confused at her asking, and he pointed her to the women and went right back to talking to the child, because he could connect with this masculine child. And I was looking at her, I said, you didn't see him all into the boy? He's not thinking about you. You know, he's not thinking about women. but he gives them their space there over there. And he knows to protect them, and he knows to watch over them, but he knows nothing about what – he knew nothing about what they did. And they didn't have to. He didn't have to. His job was on point. He knew what he was supposed to watch and protect. That's it. The Native American women had, even back in their I don't want to say thriving days. I don't want to be insensitive to the struggles that they have now. But in the days where before the colonizers, they had female chiefs, medicine women, political positions, everything, just as if in Africa too, before the colonizers. So that particular system is still very matriarchally run, very much so. In their households, they believe in tradition and passing things down, and also they believe in the fairness of having both sides represented. So there are systems that do recognize feminine heads and feminine roles. You know, I'm not trying to be funny, but England has a queen. And I'm sure there's kings and dukes and everything else like that, but we know who's been running the country. And women have shown that they can run armies, run households, run armies, run ministries, run anything that they put their mind to, anything they put their energy and effort on. So there is no limit to being feminine. And that was something I had to really work on being young, because I was a lot feistier, if you can even imagine. But I was a lot feistier, and I never wanted to be less than or soft. But then I began to notice, I was like, well, this particular body may not hit harder, but it has other powers. It has other ways of getting things. It has other magical little nuances. And I was like, hey, I've been looking at this again from a masculine point of view. Even being young, anytime you look at a feminine body or a feminine understanding as weak, I'm going to challenge you to ask where you came to that conclusion from. Was it from a man? Was it from a culture that is male dominated? Is it old, outdated information? Don't get me started with the outdated stuff. Lord have mercy. So these are things that we have to think about, that we have to build on, that we're trying to understand within our science now. These are the things that we're trying to work on and build as we're getting ready for the shift. All of us are going to play a role in this shift. Now, whether we're here to educate people about the shift, whether we're here to protect people during this shift, no matter what our job is, we have a job. We have a role. The women here and now will play a big part in the ease of this transference. We can make this a natural movement. I mean, really, family, in the last five years, I want to say 10, but not 10, it's really about 5. In the last 5 years, there's been movies with female leads. Politically, we have more female needs, more politics speaking out. Now we have more and more women moving into a powerful stance. That's because this shift is coming. These are the things that the shift will bring. There's more people living and trying to understand a natural understanding. In the middle of this, though, family, like I said, as we're trying to do our part, we have to make sure not to get caught up in the the BS, okay? We have to make sure that we don't get stuck on ourselves, stuck on stupid. We have to make sure that we're not getting disrespectful. We have to make sure that we don't turn on each other. And that's a big problem. Lord have mercy. You know, one thing Sister Unique always talks about is that she values the women in her life and, you know, had to change some of her thought patterns and narratives in understanding that women can't get along. We 100% have to change this narrative. This narrative doesn't work. What this narrative does is keeps us separated, keeps us fighting ourselves. You know, I have seen enemies allow the two winners, the two stronger beings, to fight themselves, tear each other down, and then they come in swooping for an easy kill on the back end. You know what I'm saying? We have to stop fighting ourselves. We have to stop minimizing ourselves. And we have to learn how to up ourselves. Up, you mighty nation. You can accomplish what you will. We have to up ourselves, meaning we have to do more example setting. We can't play in the mud with everybody. I talk about a wonderful approach being spiritual leaders all the time. Y'all should get tired of me saying it, but I can't. I can't stop. I have to make sure you understand how important a job this is that we have to do. We have to build off of this. We're gonna be the ones showing the next generation. And so let's spend some time gathering this information for ourselves so that when it's time to set the example, to be that one that champions for women, to be that one that says to your sister, hey, hey, let me fix your crown. That says to our sisters, look, been there, done that, you can get through it, here's how I did it. So we have to get stronger, okay? How do we do that? How do we get stronger in our beautiful feminine self when the world will tell you that only your body counts? That's not true. Everything about you counts. But this world will have you thinking that only your body counts. I'm only going to focus on your body. This world will have you thinking only your sex matters. So go ahead and give it to me. Go ahead and give me the sex so I can go ahead and move forward from there. No. We have to begin to start knowing our full worth. Because they would love. How about this? This understanding of womanhood right now is so disrespectful that they pay women 70, if you're lucky, percent to the man's 100 only because you're a woman. What? We'll do the same job, the same work, but because I'm a woman, you will pay me less? Unbelievable. And they do that. And they do it without blinking. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about where the blatant disrespect to women is so blatant. It's so horrible. We've got to start working on our worth. We got to start owning a couple more businesses so that we can go through and pay everybody what they're worth equal, not based on gender, for the same job. We have to start working on defining, I don't need to say redefining, defining the role of woman everywhere. And if I could give a little homework tonight, I would love for you to spend some time writing down what you think your role of woman is. What's your role? Are you that nurturer? Are you the protector? Are you, you know, just what role are you playing in this understanding of life? And for my men on the phone line, you write down what you believe a woman's role is in this understanding. What do you think the role is? How do you think this works? How do you think it plays out? What are you supporting the women in doing? And where did you get that thought from? So this has been one of those kind of evenings. I had to speak on some things. I had to put some clarity out there. I'm not at all surprised, because you know what we did? We were at the water, right, in Beaufort. We had just got finished with 30 days of fasting and devotion, right? We just got finished going to the water, doing the baptisms. And I believe the number, don't get me started, I believe there was 34. But we just got finished putting up such a big light for cleansing, for purity, for growth, for development. And then the next day, we went and had a day of prayer, a day of global prayer, a call for prayer, a call for a prayer for humanity. So as a wonderful approach is growing and building and developing and doing things like that, like reaching out on a global level, like praying for humanity, as we start to do that and do more, I'm not at all surprised that there's more energies and entities saying, hey, look, more humans need to be putting their energy into this. More humans need to be making prayers for this. So I'm not surprised. I'm actually quite honored that these beings are calling for and looking for more out of us, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to pray. We're here to build. We're here to set good examples. That means keep your hands to yourself. We're here to do all those things. And as we do them, we are spreading our joy and spreading our unique understanding of God. We're sharing and spreading positivity. Boy, negativity flies like, you know, wildfire, just all over the place. That positivity, you got to push that. You got to make sure people feel you on that. So this is where we are, okay? I really want to thank everybody for hanging in there, tuning in, listening. There's going to be more instructions coming, because these celestial beings, they're demanding more. The spiritual energy is demanding more. The more we put out, the more it's going to ask of us. Why? Because we can. We can bear the weight. We can bear the energy. We can be positive, so we can do it. So they want it done. We have to spend more time in meditation, allowing spirit to work with us naturally, We have to allow for more time out in the universe, out in nature. Why? Because we can. We can have those up close and personal experiences. So I really want everyone to stop and think about who they are. Who they are. Who are you in the middle of this understanding? Who do you want to be? I mean, you can say that you want to be the head queen of everything in the world. You can say that. As long as you know that that crown might be a little heavy, it's okay. You can say, I may not want to do anything. It'll go to your daughter. It'll go to your mother. It'll go to your niece. You don't have to. But all the gifts, the benefits, and everything else like that will go to that next generation. Trust me, it will. So, my dears, just spend some time thinking about who you are and who you want to be. Thinking about how this divine feminine is going to operate in your life. Think about what you're willing to do, give, and develop within this understanding of divine feminine. You know, are you willing just to learn the prayers? Are you willing to learn, just, you know, just spend that time in prayer? Are you willing to slow down off of this TV? This TV is so crazy. Slow down on the negativity. Slow down on the gossip. Are you willing to allow yourself, now this is the part, are you willing to allow yourself to stand in front of everyone to be an example? See, these are the things that you need to ask yourself quietly, but I promise you, Spirit has already asked them of you in dreams and journals and messages. Spirit's already making plans. The question is, are you going to be ready when it's your time to do the work? Okay? So this is where we are. I'm so glad that everybody took the time out to listen to the program. I'm as always, we're going to end the program with prayer. I want to let everybody know we're going to be working up in Charlotte on the 26th. That's a Saturday of this month. If you want to see some Eve at work, if you want to see some work in place, if you want to see and start having your spiritual understanding and growth expand, now's the time. Now is the time. Make the sacrifice, do the work, get there so you can have these experiences, okay? For all of my people that had to do the fast today, it's officially dark, y'all. I'm sure they're like, sis, we are 20 minutes under, okay? I get it. But it's officially dark for me. I'm going to make this heartfelt prayer, and then we're going to go and nibble on some food and probably bounce. I'm going to cross the bed, wake up right about 11, and then I'll finish my work that I have to do. But I want to thank everybody for that energy, because it really, really, the more the merrier, okay? The more people that are willing to get into their fast, dedicate the time and energy, it makes a difference. Light hands. Many hands make light work. Everybody come in and get some, okay? And then we always have to calculate. There are some people, they're still out in the world. They don't know how to pray. They don't know when to pray. They haven't gotten there yet. So we have to pray for people. They don't even know they're supposed to be praying. Forget doing it on a regular basis. So we have so much to do. Strengthen yourself. Hold on to someone else and strengthen them so that we can go and do the work that needs to be done so we can bring about those positive blessings that are going to benefit all of humanity. Okay? All right, moving into the prayer. Whew. It's been a day. Father, Mother, God, I come before you humbled, tired, yet full of love, full of compassion, full of forgiveness, full of patience, full of kindness, hoping for the positive rays of your love to shine through me in all those little dark places that exist. God, I have three people that are depressed to suicidal. It weighs heavy on my heart, God. Every night I pray for them. Every single night I pray for them. Every night I pray that you give me the right words to help them make good decisions. Every night I pray that their family be compassionate and gentle with them as they're going through their trials and tribulations. Every day, God, I know that they are able to resist that temptation. I know is a day that you will bless them. Bless them with understanding. Bless them with love so that they can feel it. Give them the ability to make the right decisions. Give all those that need it that time and ability to get to know you better, God. Because I know they would not make these foolish decisions if they had a better understanding of you. God, I want to thank you for bringing these three little Mohicans. I want to thank you for letting me be aware of them. I want to thank you for allowing me to make prayers for them. I want to thank you for, you know, giving me the skills and prayerfully. They will in turn be one of your biggest supporters, turn around, be one of your biggest lovers, the ones that give the testimony, the ones that stand up and shout, I've been saved, those that will tell others they've been to the mountaintop and survived it. So, God, I humbly ask for the strength to continue to encourage and inspire those that come to me from such a broken place, trying to reach out for you. God, I ask that you bless each and every one that is trying their best to live a righteous life. God, I ask that you make the path easier. I ask that you keep them in good health and in good mental space. God, I ask that you continue to put positive protections in place so that those that do your work will not be harmed by jealousy, envy, the evil eye, that won't be harmed by their own haughtiness, that won't be harmed by other people's arrogance. That's the right word. God, I ask that you protect all of those that really, truly seek you. God, I ask that you protect those that seek your word. May they not get set up in the trap. May they not be overwhelmed with information. God, I ask that you share with them a feeling, something they can hold on to, something that's going to bring to them a clear understanding that God is God, and they will know when they get there. God, I'm going to ask that you bring about blessings into each of our lives. I ask, Kosi, that you take away things that no longer serve us. Close the doors that need to be closed, God. Allow us the protection and freedom away from negativity, away from challenges. God, away from our own selves if we are not in the righteous mindset. God, I know that your love is enough. I know that your love is full. I know your forgiveness is the thing that we need. I ask that anyone that has a need for forgiveness from God, and I'm sure that is all of us, that we have the knowledge to ask, that we have the knowledge to go to God with our trials and tribulations and to truly lay them down and not pick them back up. God, I ask that you take away any confusion in our brain, in our hearts. We know that you are not the author of confusion. Therefore, if we have any confusion, it's by our own hands, by our own allowance. God, please educate us the right way. Let us know what is the right path. Let us know what we should be working on. Let us know what we need in our life. And the things that we don't need, give us the strength to walk away from them. God, you are so good. And every day that I get the opportunity to say that, I do. Every day that I get the opportunity to experience you, God, I am humbled beyond measure. Thank you for being good to me. I thank you for being good to my small little family. I thank you for being good to my spiritual family. I pray for those at the brokenheartedness. I pray for those with the physical ailments. I pray for those that need prayer, need to have that understanding. God, I know that all things come through you. I know all of these things I ask can be achieved with just a blink of your eye. I know it's possible. I have full faith. I believe in divine timing. I know that this will happen when it is time. I love and trust you, God. So I have no worries as to his ability to get this done. Thank you for all you have done for me in the past, all that you will do for me in the future, and where you have me currently right now. I am thankful. Amen.